This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Thursday, August 27th, 2009. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello everybody and welcome again to another episode. My name is Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And today we've got an exciting interview with somebody who I think most of you are familiar with. So, Ryan, what do you say we just get right into it?
Let's roll. And Beau and I have the great pleasure today to welcome a guest to the show. He's joining us from the great state of Oregon, and he is none other than the newly elected international president of Toastmasters International, Mr. Gary Schmidt. Welcome, Gary.
Welcome, Gary.
Thanks, Beau and Ryan. Pleasure to be on your podcast once again.
Pleasure to have you with us. Gary, tell us, you're just a few days into your presidency. How does it feel?
It feels fantastic.
I'm sure it does. Gary, I have to tell you, Beau missed your presentation at the International Convention. And what a presentation he did miss.
I was so upset. As soon as we got back, Ryan was telling me all about it. Oh, I can't believe you missed this. This happened and this happened. If everybody was talking about it the way Ryan was, you hit a home run there, Gary.
Well, thank you. It was a fun presentation to give, and I hope people enjoyed it. And I'm sorry that you missed it.
Is it on YouTube, or is that against some kind of copyright protection?
Someone from my home district supposedly taped it on their camera phone for YouTube, but I have not seen it yet.
Oh, interesting. Well, it certainly was a unique presentation, and one of the things that you spoke about was your meeting Luke Skywalker himself, Mr. Mark Hamill. And I wondered if, for those who didn't catch the presentation, if you might be able to give a brief synopsis of how that all went down.
Yes, absolutely. I am a big fan of the movie Star Wars, and I saw that as a young boy when the film first came out 30-odd years ago. And as a child, I wrote letters to all the actors in the movie asking for their autograph because I felt if I couldn't go into space, at least I could take a bit of the movie home with me. I wrote to all the actors. They all wrote back to me with photographs signed beautifully to Gary, except for Mark Hamill. He is the only actor of all the actors in the movie Star Wars who did not write back to me. It destroyed me because I really, of all the characters, like Luke Skywalker the best, and I wanted Mark Hamill's autograph. It was a dream of mine, and despite every actor writing back to me, Mark Hamill did not.
You know, I think because it's against some kind of Jedi code.
Well, someone was playing Jedi mind tricks, and maybe the dark side interfered onto the good side. I don't know for sure. He did not write back to me, therefore I honestly was devastated as a young boy. Fast forward now 20 years later, I'm an adult in Portland, Oregon. I read in the local newspaper that Mark Hamill was visiting a local hospital for the rededication. My childhood memories flashed up to the surface, and I thought, now's my chance to finally achieve my dream of getting all the actors' autographs, especially Mark Hamill. I went to this hospital dedication. There were hundreds of men in their late 20s and early 30s carrying action figures, lightsabers, posters. To get his autograph. No, I was just there, you know, in my respectable business suit with a card. I didn't have any of that action stuff. Yet, as I was standing there, they announced he would not be signing autographs. And once again, I saw my dream escaping right before my eyes. Yet, because I had joined Toastmasters, and this is where Toastmasters comes in, I had just joined a year before, and I was actually finishing my term as an area governor. And Toastmasters gave me confidence in myself. Whereas before, if I had heard that there would not be autographs, I literally would have just left. Thought, well, it's just not going to happen. Toastmasters, though, gave me confidence to say, I'm not leaving this building without that actor's autograph. So I did. When he walked out of his elevator, flanked by security guards, I walked over a red velvet rope right up to Mark Hamill. Security guards, both of them, pulled my shoulders back to get me away from him. I struggled free, went right up to Mark Hamill, and asked him for his autograph. And he gave it to me. I had a friend standing by with a camera who took a picture of it to memorialize that it actually happened, and that's what I showed at the convention in my PowerPoint presentation, that I actually got to meet Mark Hamill in person. And the moral of that story, one, is never give up on your dreams, no matter how large or small they may be, how many years it may take, never give up on your dreams. And Toastmasters helps you achieve your dreams by giving you confidence to achieve your dreams.
And or help you get arrested.
Confidence.
That, well, I was worried that that could be the other outcome of that story. Thankfully, though, it worked out well.
Oh, that is an awesome story. And Gary, that's actually a lead in to your theme as international president, which is confidence, leadership, service. And you spoke a little bit about confidence. Could you talk a little bit about leadership and service?
Absolutely. Once we gain confidence in our own abilities and confidence to achieve our goals and dreams, we then have the opportunity to lead others to achieve their goals and their dreams. Toastmasters really is all about helping people be the best that they can be. Once we improve ourselves, we work to improve other people and help other people achieve what they have joined to achieve. Therefore, leadership skills are so essential to our journey as communicators and ultimately helping other people, which then all culminates in service, being of service to others. That's what Toastmasters, among many other things, has definitely taught me, that by helping other people, you ultimately help yourself. When you help others achieve their passions, their dreams, it all comes back to you twicefold. Therefore, as president, my hope is that every member will follow the ideals and keep in their mind of confidence, leadership, and service to help them be the best communicator and leader they can be, but ultimately to help others and help other members on their journey to be the person they were meant to be.
Right. Terrific. Gary, if we can do another Jedi mind trick and fast forward to August of 2010. Let's say that you're standing there in August 2010 at the International Convention, looking back upon the past year. What, as you look back, do you want to see and be proud that you've accomplished?
Before you answer that question, Gary, you have to excuse my friend Ryan. He's not familiar with the ways of the Jedi. Ryan, that is not a Jedi mind trick. Jedi mind trick is getting into somebody's mind and making them see something or do something.
Oh, okay,
or
well,
something.
Sorry. Yeah.
You're talking about looking into the future, which is completely different. Okay, Gary, you can go ahead.
And most Jedis are unfortunately unable to look into the future, as evidenced by Yoda in Episode 3.
Exactly.
I stand corrected.
Ryan is obviously not a Star Wars geek.
That's okay. I have all 6 movies on video and DVD that I'm happy to help you with as soon as this
As do I, my friend.
Yes, in August 2010, I would hope, my dream is that, first of all, every single member of Toastmasters International and every single club has grown in their own abilities and has ultimately achieved their goals and their dreams for why they joined Toastmasters in the first place. At an organizational level, definitely I hope that our growth will continue beyond the great strength we already show in our membership. We're at 250,000 members this year in 2009, the most members we've ever had. I would love to see that number increase. I'm not going to make a prediction, but definitely growth in our members and in our clubs. Evolution of our leadership track in Toastmasters, enhancement of our competent leadership manual, perhaps new advanced leadership manuals, ultimately an evaluation component to our leadership track where our leaders get evaluated, receive feedback for how well they are doing and how they can improve. And ultimately, I think the greatest dream I have is that we meet the evolving needs of our members of every age so that they join Toastmasters knowing that they will get what they need and that our organization can adapt and meet those needs as those needs change over time.
And what do you think the chances are that that will happen on a scale from, I guess, 0% to 100%?
110%.
Nice.
All right.
Talking about confidence. You are living your theme.
But it is because I have faith and trust in our members, because I alone am going to do very little. And it's our volunteer leaders at every level of the organization, from the club to the international board. We're all going to work together to serve our members, to give our members what they need, why they joined, and our future members who haven't even considered Toastmasters yet, mm-hmm. give them the talents, the traits, the motivation they need to see how Toastmasters will enhance and improve their life.
All right. Hmm. I wonder if most people know or do not know this, but you, as the international president, are not a full-time Toastmasters employee. You actually have a professional career outside of Toastmasters, and I think a lot of people don't quite understand this. Can you explain that a little bit and perhaps go into how you plan to balance your professional career with your duties as international president?
Yes, I am a volunteer leader, just like any other leader in Toastmasters. I volunteer just like a club president volunteers or an area governor or any other leadership role. And yes, I do have a professional job. And my employer, which is Clackamas County in the state of Oregon, they are very supportive of my Toastmasters involvement. And they knew that I was about to undertake this role and fully support my efforts to do so because they, very rightly so, I believe, tell me that this will improve my performance as an employee and make me even better in my professional work, which I think is of value to anyone who is a volunteer leader in Toastmasters, how this really, truly improves your professional performance in your careers. So yes, I do have a job that's paid and that will support my Toastmasters habit and allow me to undertake this fantastic opportunity, of which I'm very grateful.
Is your company going to be a little bit more lenient in terms of time requirements?
They're being flexible working with me. I do work for a government agency, and therefore the leave I take will be either unpaid or using my vacation time. So that definitely is a small sacrifice I'm willing to make because of the many benefits I will receive as a member of Toastmasters. This role for me is also improving my own leadership development. I certainly have not learned everything there is to learn yet. I'm still growing too. And serving as president will give me an opportunity to be an even stronger leader, which I will bring those skills back to my career.
And Gary, how much do you know now about what your travel schedule is going to look like as international president?
I actually know very clearly exactly where I'll be going as president, and that may adjust slightly over the year, but it's pretty settled at this point. And I can tell you I'll be visiting South Carolina, Colorado, California, Australia, Wisconsin, and Iowa.
Nice. That's fantastic.
And the vice presidents this year are also doing some travel. They're assisting me with the normal presidential travel. Normally a president visits about 12 districts, and this year I'll be visiting 6 districts, and the 3 vice presidents will be visiting 2 districts each.
Does Toastmasters International provide you with bodyguards on these trips as president?
Security detail?
Not at this point. There hasn't really been a need for such a role, but are you two offering for next year?
No.
Hey, Gary, I want to go back to something you said a few moments ago. You spoke about the changing needs of Toastmasters. Now, you've been a member of this organization for 14 years. Could you speak maybe a little bit about how the needs of the average Toastmaster have changed, or potential Toastmaster, from somebody walking into a meeting for the first time 14 years ago and today in 2009?
Yes, absolutely. I think, one, the evolving needs of volunteer organizations are changing. When I joined 14 years ago, it was great for people to volunteer their time to do activities, whether it's clubs or other social services. But now, because people, and related to the economy as well, people are so busy in their jobs or keeping their jobs or finding jobs, as well as their families, they have limited time to engage in volunteer activities. And ultimately, Toastmasters is a volunteer activity, even though we're educationally based. So time limits have changed how much people are willing to give to an organization like Toastmasters. Technology definitely has had an impact. When I joined, everything was snail mail. Mm. In fact, I didn't even have an email address when I joined Toastmasters, and I never had used the internet up to that point. But now, as a volunteer leader, almost all communication is via email or websites or other electronic means. And so that has changed how we deliver and present information. And definitely generational differences as well. Younger people today are so engaged with technology that they may not think there's a need to improve their communication skills. Yet we know that that's definitely the case. So how we adapt and attract younger people to join Toastmasters, I think, is very essential.
Very good. And another thing that's changed in the past 14 years is Gary Schmidt. I understand when you joined the organization, you were unemployed college graduate and struggling with interviews. And you had a pretty remarkable success story just a short time after joining Toastmasters. Could you share with our listeners a little bit about that?
Yes, as you say, I joined Toastmasters primarily because I was unemployed and had very little confidence when I would go to job interviews and was just bombing interviews like crazy because I could not express myself effectively. After I joined Toastmasters, I found a job 6 weeks later working for U.S. Senator Mark Hatfield, who was my political idol and was where I wanted to work. Now, I believe I had the talents and the skills that entire time, so I did not transform my entire personality in 6 weeks. Rather, Toastmasters gave me confidence to realize I did have the skills to be an effective interviewer, to be an effective employee. I just didn't know I had them. Mm. So that's what Toastmasters gave me in 6 weeks, confidence. And again, it's tied to my theme as well, but confidence in myself that helped me to realize I had the potential to work for who I wanted to, Senator Hatfield, and to talk my way into that job.
I just realized something, that Mark Hatfield is awfully similar to Mark Hamill in terms of names. Some coincidence there in terms of idols?
Well, there could be something there, yes.
Something a little subconscious, maybe.
I'll have to think about that, yes, very much so. And actually, if I could quickly follow up, when I last was on your podcast, I was unemployed as well. I lost my job late last year because my last boss, U.S. Senator Gordon Smith, unfortunately was not successful in his reelection effort. Mm. So when we spoke last time, I was also unemployed. Therefore, like many of listeners who may be looking for work, I too was in that same position about 6 months ago. And earlier this year, Toastmasters once again came to my rescue and helped me find employment, not only by giving me the skills to do effective work on job interviews, but I directly found my job via Toastmasters and Facebook.
Nice.
That is great. Well, congratulations with that. All right, Gary, we had a question. Actually, what we did is we sent out a notice to the Toastmasters, and we said that we are going to be interviewing the president, and we asked for a question to ask. And the most common question that came back was this: what policies would you support to meet demand for energy while ensuring an economically and environmentally sustainable future for Toastmasters?
Plastic.
Plastics. I love it.
I like it. Plastics and oil.
And I submitted that question, so thank you for asking.
All right, Gary, that's all we have for you. I just want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us once more.
Yeah.
And fill everybody in on what you are up to and what we have to look forward to for the next year. I think it is going to be an exciting year with you behind the wheel. Figuratively speaking, of course.
Behind the spaceship. Behind the Millennium Falcon. Thank you both, Bo and Ryan. It's a pleasure to be on your program once again. Thank you for all that you both do for Toastmasters. And really, this is another example of the evolving needs of our members. Who would have ever thought of podcasts as a way to reach out to our current and future members? Even 5 years ago, who would have ever thought that? But here we are today. So thank you for what you are providing to our organization. It's very, very important.
You are most welcome.
Quite welcome. All the best to you.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Once again, that was Mr. Gary Schmidt, the 2009-2010 International President of Toastmasters International. Well, Ryan, we do have some listener feedback for this episode, and this is general feedback on all of our podcasts. Carol posted a question on our blog, and she said, on YouTube videos, it indicates how long the video takes. I'm not all that computer savvy. Is it possible with a podcast to put the length of the time for the podcast at the top prior to listening to it all to find out how long it is? Well, Carol, it's definitely possible to do it. What we're going to do from now on is we're going to put the length of the episode in the podcast description. So if you see the podcast on iTunes, you can just read the description, and before the description starts, right there in parentheses, we'll have the length of the podcast. So you know how much time you have to listen to it.
Thanks for the suggestion.
Yes, very good suggestion. And once again, it's going to be, most of the episodes will be about 20 minutes. So you could pretty much bank on that, with the exception of the ones when we go to the conference. And that's a different story altogether. But if you do have any listener feedback on this podcast or any others, you can send us an email at podcast@toastmasters.org. You can post on our blogs, and you can do that by going to our website. And our website can be found at toastmasterspodcast.com. You could also contact us on Twitter, and we are found at twitter.com/thetmpodcast. Or, Ryan, they could call, can't they?
They sure can. You can call our listener feedback voicemail line at 1-888-451-8862. You'll have up to 2 minutes to leave us your voice feedback.
All right, very good. Well, that's it for this week's, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. We will be back next week with another fantastic interview. Until then, my name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Take care, everybody.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.